I wanted to tell you about the new series that we just finished, the three-part series. And today's generation is hungry for a move of God. And in this three-part series, I share with you the divine encounters of Moses, Paul, and the disciples. And without a face-to-face meeting with a divine encounter from God, you'll only be religious. And this whole series will help you to force you, if you will, into a divine encounter with Jesus. And it says it's time for the believer to see the fire, hear the fire, and possess the fire. Amen? And I think this series is going to take you there. I don't know what it's cost, but they have them available today. And you know what? We're not here to make money, so if all you have is $5 or something, then that's fine. Just give what you have. But I believe that the Word of God is important to get in your spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. I wanted to say thank you for all the hard work of those that came yesterday to help my wife and family decorate the platform. Isn't it beautiful? And the trees over there. And I mean, wow, great job. Woo! It's Christmas time, right? Man, it's great to see that there. And we wanted to extend our corporate sympathies to Wendy Tumblin, Lori Johnson. Their sister passed this week. And our hearts go out to you and our prayers as well. And you know, we also need to continue to pray. Cindy Cordy's dad is in intensive care. And I was there yesterday with the family. I'm believing God that he'll be raised up, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Amen. I'm just going to put myself in agreement with that. And got a call from Kane and Courtney this morning. Little Elias is in intensive care and in Huntington, West Virginia, with pneumonia in his lungs. And how many believe that God can heal, touch, deliver, save, set free? Amen. I believe that. Hallelujah. He said, send the word. Send the word, and it will heal. Send the word, and it will heal. So let's just lift our hand right now. Father, we send the word. We send the word, oh God. We say, Elias, be healed in Jesus' name. Arthur, be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We bless you, Father. Peace in the heart of that family, Lord. We believe, Lord God, that you are ever-present help in times of trouble. And so, Father, we rejoice in the Lord. And again we say, we rejoice. Hallelujah. Come on, just stand up on your feet. I feel like this is a moment we need to look at a couple of people and say, you know what? I believe God is able. Come on, find somebody. Tell them you believe that God is able. Come on, grab them. Give them a high five. Say, this is a day the Lord has made. We're going higher. We're going further. Come on, tell somebody. I'm about to go higher. I'm about to go further than I've ever been before in God. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. If somebody would go get my message Bible, I forgot it. It's in my cabinet there. It's a brown cover. I need to have that this morning. But we're excited about God's presence in our life. Hallelujah. And you're not a mistake. You're not a mistake, and neither is this city. Some people call it the mistake on the lake. And I say, no, that's a false prophecy. This is a revival center. This is the power of God present in this region to change lives. Look at somebody and say, I don't see you as a minus. Come on, tell them, look back at them and say, I don't see you as a minus either. I see you as a plus. Come on now, I see you as a plus. God's adding stuff to your life. Amen. God is adding stuff to your life. I'm on my way up. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm on my way up. I'm not happy with where I've been. I'm not going to be stagnant in my walk with God. I'm not going to allow myself to stay here any longer. I've got to go higher. I've got to go further. Far above. Far above where? Where I've been thus far. I want to go further than I've been thus far. You know, you are a contributor. Your life contributes. I want you to know that. Your life contributes to other people. You do not take away You are not somebody that is a detractor, but you're a contributor. You're a plus and not a minus. God has an eternal purpose for your life. And you're going to walk into this more fully in these days. I'm declaring that over this house. We're going to begin to walk in our purpose more fully. We're going to see God more clearly. We're going to experience the Holy Spirit more powerfully. Amen. Anybody want to go there? I want to go there. That's where I want to dwell. That's where I want to live. I want to be there. Matthew 5 and 14 says that you are a light. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill. And it cannot be hid. Praise God. We are not going to be hid. Hallelujah. I pray this morning that the gifts of the Holy Spirit will begin to operate in your life so routinely. Be like normal experience. I mean, you just kind of wake up in the morning and you prophesy to yourself. And God will show you what the day will hold. You're not going to be caught off guard. This is a day when we're not going to be caught by surprises. But we already know, like the prophet. The prophet already knew. He said, he's in your bedroom. He knows exactly what you're saying. You know, God wants to raise up a generation that has a residue of his presence. When Elisha was buried and the dead man was thrown in there, quickly, remember the story? And he was raised back up because he hit the bones of Elisha. I'm wondering this morning, you know, Elisha was hungry for Elijah's mantle. And he picked it up and he began to part the waters. He began to do great works immediately when he picked up what Elijah left. But I'm going to ask this question. Who picked up what Elisha left? Doesn't appear that anybody picked it up because it was still on his body. It was buried with him. God help us that we do not bury the experience of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost with this generation, but that we give the mantle to our children and our children's children. Hallelujah. The Bible says he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. That means 60-year-old flesh, glory to God, and 16-year-old flesh, amen? That means girl flesh and boy flesh, come on now, grandma flesh and parent flesh and single flesh. God said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters not might, but they will prophesy. Young men, you are not maybe going to see visions. You will see visions. And old men will begin to dream dreams. When are we going to be hungering and thirsting for the dreams and the visions? Well, we got to shake ourselves out of this average walk with God. This ordinary expectation that we have when we come to church. When we get up in the morning and we maybe read our Bibles. Come on, church. Go a little higher. Go a little further, far above where we've ever been before. Praise His holy name. Well, let's get into the Word here this morning. Go to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. The Word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the tops of the mountains. Oh, God, I wish I could just preach right there. Ooh, that's good. The mountain of the Lord's house. Look at somebody and say, that's us. The church. The mountain of the Lord's house. The church shall be established where? In the valley? No. Halfway up the mountain? No. Where? On the top of the mountain. Come on, a little bit higher. Come on, a little bit further. You see, we're not where we're supposed to be yet. God wants us to be on the top of the mountain. And it shall be exalted above the hills. And all the nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. Watch this. For out of Zion, say, that's me. The church out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. There is going to be a revelation that is going to be released in this generation. And it's not coming from CNN. It's not coming from the colleges and universities. It's not coming from the philosophers of this world. But it's coming from the blood-bought church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is set upon the mountain of the Lord. The revelation knowledge of God is going to flow out of the church. You see, there is a generation who has been served injustice. You can go to a court of law today, and that doesn't mean you will be served justice. They serve a law, and the law is not justice. You can find people who should have been awarded the right to their recompense, and they will be ruled against. Why? Because of some technicality of the law. But God is raising up a people who will serve justice. God loves justice. And Jesus Christ is raising up a people who will serve this generation justice. There are people today that are walking around us every day that have been abused physically, sexually. Some have been abandoned. Some have had their things taken away from them. Some have had failures and crises in their life to the point where they can hardly make it during the day, and they're looking for answers and can't find any. And God's saying, I need a people who will come to those individuals and see a burden not to walk in the power of God as much as to release the power of God to a generation who is looking for justice. God wants to serve justice to those who have been abused and abandoned, who have been afflicted by life's circumstances. Church, this is the greatest day, a greatest hour that you and I could ever live, because we're on the top of the mountain. You know, nothing else is up there, just God alone. If you've ever climbed a high mountain, you find the higher that you go, the least the things that you'll see. You will not see very many people on the top. They're all living where? In the valley. But the higher you go, there's less vegetation. The higher you go, the air becomes thinner, and you become more dependent upon the breath of God. Oh, would you come up a little higher this morning? Would you come out of your mediocrity? Would you come out of that place so that we can dwell far above? Everybody say far above. Deuteronomy 28 and 13 says above only. This is the above only church. This is the above only season. This is the above only anointing. And I want to declare that to myself. I want to declare that to my church. I want to declare that to my family. You are above only and not beneath. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20, we read the scriptures. In verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now some of you are probably like really feeling put out today, because you have to actually turn the pages of your Bible, right? I mean, recently all you gotta do is just watch it on the screen. Let's go back to the old-fashioned way, all right? He said in verse 20, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, who toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked on Christ, in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Where's Jesus seated at? In the right hand, in heavenly places. Hallelujah. There it is. It says, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right own right hand in the heavenly places. And we know that Jesus today is seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities and powers. And look at chapter 2 and verse 6. Verse 6 says, and he raised us up together and made us sit together. Say, sit together. Now look at the person next to you and say, we're sitting together. Now I want you to get that. You're sitting, we are sitting together. Now notice what he says in verse 6. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means that if Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power, then he made us to sit together with him. Look at the person next to you and just pretend that they're Jesus. And say, look, I'm sitting with you. Yeah, I'm sitting with you. In other words, we are positioned in great authority in a place of power. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave what? Power to become what? Sons of God. He gave them authority to become a son of God. So you and I are operating in authority. You and I are operating in the power of God. So we've got to begin to look toward our position with the Holy Spirit and recognize that we need to defeat something in the church. And here's what we need to defeat. We need to defeat a mentality called mediocre. Mediocre singing, mediocre preaching, mediocre praying, mediocre church attendance, mediocre giving, help me Jesus, mediocre everything. Mediocre means this, moderate to inferior in quality. Moderate to inferior in quality. That's what it means. Average. Look at somebody and say, there is nothing average about me. Now, some of you have a hard time even saying that because religiously you've been taught that you're nothing but a lousy sinner. That you're nothing but a reprobate. You're a wretch. You're a worm. And you don't even deserve God's grace. Now, that's prior to coming to Christ. That's who I was. But when I came to Jesus, excuse me, I've got a new past. And when I look back, all I see is the blood. All I see is the cross. All I see is the redeemed the position that I now hold. I am now a son of God. I am now one of the agents of God. I now am royalty. I am a prince. You may not see me that way. I may not even see myself that way. But I am a prince. And you are more than just a Disney character, girls. You are a true princess in the house of God. And you have been raised up to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen in here. Hallelujah. We've got to stop with this false humility junk. Oh, I'm just a poor sinner. Oh, thank you, God, for your grace. Don't let me come back there because I will slap you. The Latin medius, mediocre, comes from two Latin words, medius. It means middle. And ochreus means rugged mountain. So you see, when you're average or mediocre, you're in the middle of a rugged place. And so there's no place for God's people to be in the middle. See, it's hard. It was easier to get Israel out of Egypt than it was to get Egypt out of Israel. You know what I'm talking about? That's why he had to have Moses raised up in the Pharaoh's house. He was the Pharaoh's son, but he was a Hebrew. He had to have a different mentality because there was no way that a deliverer could come to a people thinking the same way the people thought. You didn't catch that. Because there's no way we're going to win a generation if we think the same way the people that we're trying to bring into salvation and deliverance think. If you think you're still a sinner, if you think you're still limited, if you think you're unworthy, if you think you have no self-esteem, listen to me this morning. God has made you to sit with Jesus Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality and power. It's not me. I want you to know it's not arrogance. It's confidence. Arrogance is when you think you are better than someone else. I don't think I'm better than anyone else, but I know this, that I am not the man I used to be, and God has brought me into a relationship with Him, that I now am an agent of the kingdom of God. I'm an ambassador on this earth, and I am no longer subject. So God had to raise up a Moses to go back to a people to bring them out of a mentality of enslavement. People are enslaved in this hour. And many of them are in the church. We're enslaved to mediocrity. We're enslaved to ordinary. We're enslaved to a generation that says Christianity is nothing but another religion. And I stand here today to say it is not a religion. And I stand here today to say that I will prophesy and preach until Christianity no longer can be recognized as a religion, but a move of God on the face of the earth. I like what Isaiah says in the Message Bible. Powerful. So awesome. I want you to turn back to Isaiah chapter 2 again. And Isaiah is prophesying about going to the mountain. And he says, we'll be the mountain solid, towering over all mountains, and all nations will river toward it. All people over from all over set out for it. They'll say, come, let's climb God's mountain. Go to the house of the God of Jacob. In other words, if you're going to come to God, if you're going to come to the church, you're going to have to go higher. You can't come to the church on the same level. See, we can't have as much alcoholism in the church as we have outside the church. We can't have the same amount of adultery in the church, come on somebody, as we do in the church. We can't have the same amount of carnality in the church as we have outside the church. When you come to the church, you got to go higher. Oh God, let us go higher. He'll show us the way He works so we can live the way we're made. Oh, I love that. Show us, Lord, the way You work so we can live the way we're made, supposed to be living. And He goes on to say this, Zion's the source of the revelation. God's message comes from Jerusalem. And He says this, God, You walked out on Your family, Jacob, because their world is full of hokey religion. This is Isaiah chapter 2. Verse 6 through 9, because their world is full of hokey religion, Philistine witchcraft, and pagan hocus pocus. A world rolling in wealth, stuffed with things, no end to its machines and gadgets. And gods of all sorts and sizes. These people make their own gods and worship what they make. A degenerate race, face down in the gutter. Now, Isaiah did not mince any words. I don't want to be identified with hokey religion, with Philistine witchcraft. I don't want to be identified with a church that's powerless and a people that can't keep their marriages together. And even preachers, God help us, who can stand in a pulpit and preach under power and can't stay married. Come on. How is that possible? How is that possible? You're not real. You can't be real and do that. All right. I'm sorry, you can't be real. Everybody say we got to go higher. We got to go further. We got to go to the top of the mountain. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31. God spoke to Abraham and his household. You can put that up for me. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31. He spoke to Abraham's household. Actually, he spoke to Terah's household. And Terah took his son Abraham and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, and his sons Abraham's wife, and they were, and they went out from them, from Ur of the Chaldeans, to go to the land of Canaan. Now, where were they going? Where were they going? They were leaving the Ur of the Chaldeans. Where were they going? Land of Canaan. Everybody say it out loud. Land of Canaan. They were going to the land of Canaan. When you and I got born again, God called us out of the Ur of Chaldeans. And He called us to go where? Land of Canaan. In other words, the land of promise. God says, I want you to dwell in the land of promise. And so they were on their way. And in 11 verse 31 tells us, put it back up please. In 11 verse 31, it said they were supposed to go to the land of Canaan. But it says that they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now, if you take a look at the map and see if Ur of Chaldeans and see the Canaan land, Haran is halfway between. Everybody say halfway. Say mediocre. Average. Ordinary. Look at somebody and say, there's nothing average about me. So God said, I want you to go to the land of promise. But they went to Haran and they dwelt there. Now that's very dangerous to dwell in a land called mediocre. It's very, very dangerous to go only halfway with God. As a matter of fact, I think you'd be better off if you wouldn't serve Jesus at all than to acknowledge Him as the Lord of your life and live for yourself. I think it'd be better off If you just stay out of church, forget about it, don't come to the altar, don't play Jesus games, and go on with your life. But they accepted the call of God and they came out. But they only went halfway. Everybody say halfway. Look at verse 32, Genesis 11, and verse 32. So the days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah died in Haran. Terah was the father of Abraham. Let's put it this way. Terah died in the place called mediocre. Terah, with the call of God upon him, died halfway between the call and the promise. But when he died, in Genesis 12, which is the next verse, 1, God began to speak a blessing to Abraham. And I'm going to tell us this morning, I'm persuaded that until mediocrity, average, ordinary, dies in the church, we will not be a generation that will receive the empowerment of God's blessing. When he says, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. And great shall your name be upon the earth. And the nations will know that I am God. All right. But that promise could not be given to Abraham until he got out of halfway. Until Terah died in the place called mediocre. I'm telling you this morning, it's a call of the Holy Ghost. It's a prophetic word to the church. Get out of the place of mediocrity. Get out of the place of lukewarmness. Get out of the place of just going halfway with God. And so Abraham went on. What happens in the halfway mode? Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2 tells us exactly what happened. When Terah stopped halfway. Joshua 24 and verse 2, if you have it, you can put it on there. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2 says this. That Terah worshipped other gods there. If you're going to live an average Christian life, I'm going to tell you what your destiny is. You're going to start worshipping idols. It might be an idol called self. It might be an idol called pornography. It might be an idol called drinking. It might be an idol called materialism. It might be an idol called family. It might be you'll put something between you and God. Because average always allows self to be exalted. And Joshua 24 and 2 says, Terah worshipped other gods there in Haran. So recently there's been a real voice of God speaking to me about getting rid of some idols in my life that I didn't even consider idols until the word of the Lord began to call me up higher and call me up further. And I said, God, I don't know that I want to go up any higher because this is rugged. Let me tell you something. To climb this mountain to get to the place of authority in God is not easy. It's not a cakewalk. It's not a 20-minute sermonette. It's not coffee and donuts on Sunday morning. It's not a Saturday night service of 1 hour in and out so you can fulfill your obligation spiritually. It's a rugged mountain. And it's going to take some energy. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some commitment. It's going to take some desire. It's going to take some endurance. It's going to take some hunger. But how many want to go to the top of the mountain? See, not for ourselves. It doesn't really matter about where we are. I mean, if we get to the top of the mountain, it's for this generation. This generation will not be served justice until we get in our position of authority. We'll not flow in the power of God and the words of the Lord and the gifts of the Spirit truly in the generation that we serve until we get in our right position. The church called average must die in order to release a generation of promise into their destiny. You see, in order to leave the place called average, we're going to have to become kingdom-minded. Everybody say kingdom-minded. You say, well, what is that? There were two people that's contrasted in the Bible so often, two disciples. One's name was John, the other one was Judas. Have you heard of them? John was at the breast of Jesus. John was at the cross. Behold thy son, behold thy mother. John received the greatest revelation of who Jesus was, given to us now in the last book of our New Testament. Judas went out and hung himself. And here was the difference. Judas was a Haran Christian. He was a halfway Christian. Because he never entered into covenant with Christ. Please hear me. He never entered into covenant with Christ. You say, well, what do you mean? He served Christ for what he could get. Jesus walked the earth and had people that supported his ministry. There were people that gave money to him. How do you think he ate and walked and slept and took care of his needs? You say, a lot of people say, well, Jesus was just poor. Well, I don't know. What would you need a treasure for if you're poor? Evidently, they had some money. But Judas recognized a good thing when he saw it. So he stuck it out with Jesus because he pilfered from the bag. He was filling his own need. When it came to covenant in the upper room, they sat down to have the meal together, and what happened? Jesus said, the man whose hand is in the dish with me is going to betray me. He says, go, whatever you desire to do, do it quickly. And he left. In other words, he did not drink the cup and he did not eat the bread. Because people who are halfway and ordinary and average with Jesus will never walk in covenant with him. And to walk in covenant means I've died to myself and I live for you. What I have is yours. I have made a commitment to death to serve you. And Judas couldn't make that commitment because he was living in Haran. See, today as a church, we've got to make covenant with Jesus Christ. He said, unless you drink my blood and eat of my flesh, you can have no part of me. This is an hour when God is wanting to raise the church to a higher place. Not for us, not to say, ooh, look at how powerful they are. Ooh, look at how powerful and anointed they are. Ooh, look at the gifts of the Spirit operate in them. Ooh, look at, they're really cool. No, that's not the reason. And if that's your reason for wanting to operate in the anointing and the power of God, you need to go back to the altar and get this thing prayed through. It's not about us. It's about the people who are yet in bondage, who are in prison, who are held captive in darkness, who have been served injustices all their life. When God wants to release them into liberty, hallelujah, and set the prisoner free, glory to God. That's our focus. That's why we've got to go higher. That's why we've got to go to the mountaintop. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, in order to be kingdom-minded, you first must seek the kingdom of God. And his what? He said, but seek, aim, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness. You know, you may not know what that is. Well, I don't know what it is either in its entirety. I mean, you say, well, what's God's kingdom? I said, well, I can give you a definition, but I struggle to know what that is. But you know what? I can get in the place of prayer and I can say, Holy Spirit, reveal your kingdom to me. Reveal your ways to me, oh God, your righteousness in my life. His way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. We strain and struggle for things. You know, Paul said this, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. You know what that word desire means? Lust after them. Lust after them? For what purpose? For those that are still bound. Because it is the gifts of the Holy Spirit that will set them free. Hallelujah. So we need to go beyond where we've gone and realize that it's going to require us to get out of the average mentality. The average Christian reads their Bible less than 10 minutes a week. I'm not going to be average. I'm going to make at least 11 minutes. Come on, somebody. The average Christian attends church twice a month. I'm going to go for 3. I'm not going to be average. I mean, at least that's a starting place. Why be another statistic of average? You see, you're in a dangerous place because when you become average in your walk with God, you will eventually succumb to the idols around you and you will worship them and not your God. And you will die in mediocrity. And then God is going to have to raise up another generation to find him again and somehow cause the revival to start. Do you know that revivals statistically last anywhere from 1 to 4 years? And after 4 years, they got to start all over again. You know why? Because we're not passing on the mantle. We're not passing it on. We don't realize that there's an impartation to give. There's a disciple to make. There's nations to subdue. God said, disciple all nations, not just people. God wants us to disciple Romania, Uganda. God wants us to disciple Haiti. He wants us to disciple America. So how in the world will we ever do that? Go to the mountaintop. Because when we're on that mountaintop, they will come running to us and the river of life will flow out from it. Do you remember in Isaiah 2 when I read that? He said the revelation of God will flow out to them. They will come to us. We won't have to go out to them. We won't have to knock on the doors. We won't have to try to find people to witness to. They'll be so hungry because they'll see something they've never seen before. It's called the blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled church who walks in authority and power and great humility, and great grace will be upon them. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. In this particular scripture, the Lord is speaking to Joshua and he says, be strong. Everybody say, be. Be strong, confident, of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only you be strong. Everybody say, be. And very courageous, that you may do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do. Everybody say do. According to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall deal wisely and have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be. Everybody say be. Strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be. Everybody say be. Not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you read this text in the King James Version, you will find something very peculiar. You will find out that there is a disparity between the words be and the word do. Be is mentioned four times, and do is mentioned twice. And what that tells me is that what you are will determine what you do. God is more interested about you being than he is you and I doing. Twice as much emphasis is placed on becoming rather than doing. That is a kingdom-minded person. I want to become like Jesus. See, the ultimate goal of redemption is to position you and I to reign and to rule, to administer justice to the oppressed. The throne, or the place of authority, is upon the mountain of the Lord. I like Psalm 110, verses 1 to 3. He tells us that there is a day, a certain day that is coming on the earth. A day there is not a single day, but it's a season. It is a moment in history. It is an interception of the time of God. Now listen to this. In verse 1, it tells us in Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. God says there is a day when I will be releasing my power. And the day we live in is the day of his power. And Daniel says, they that know the Lord shall do great exploits for him. This is a season when the courts of heaven have met. The certificates of condemnation that were against us, Colossians said, have been nailed to the cross. The court has been met and we've been found not guilty. We have been free. We've been redeemed. We've been made to be free. Now it is our responsibility to go tell John all that you see and hear. Go tell Peter and the rest of the disciples. In other words, go into the highways and byways and let them know the certificate of debt that was issued against them has been paid. It is our responsibility to set the captives free. Hallelujah. To let people know that this is the day of his power. Paul said this, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. The Amplified says, not talk. This is not the day. The kingdom of God is not in talk, but in power. Power to live right. Power to love everybody. Power to pray hard. Power to come to church. Power to give your tithe. Power to pray. Power to seek the face of God. Power to release the gifts. Power over the enemy. Power over principalities and powers. Power over political systems. Power over philosophies of man. Power over every nation. Power over every dictator. Power over every wicked thing on this earth. This is the day of power. Hallelujah. Don't stop now. Even though the mountain is rugged, don't stop now. Some of you have been through much tribulation. I know that. There's not a person in here that's not been scarred in our life at some journey, some point in our life's journey. We've been scarred. We've got issues. We've had pains. We've had wounds. We carry them with us. Some of us even to the house of the Lord this morning. There are seeds that have been planted in our life. Nothing that we did, but it was something that the enemy planted seeds. He planted tares among the wheat. God put the wheat in our heart, but the tares were already growing. Satan has tried to ruin the crop, ruin your harvest. But this is the day of harvest. He said, in the day of harvest, I will tear out the tares, I will rip out the tares, and I will bring the harvest, I will bring the wheat into the threshing floor, and I will burn up the tares. This is the day of His power. God is burning up the tares. God is removing the things that have been growing in our life that have been trying to destroy our life. When Elijah faced the Baals, the God of Baal on Mount Carmel, it wasn't in the valley where the fire fell. The fire fell on the mountain. And God, I want your fire to fall. John the Baptist declared that when Jesus Christ comes, He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. He said the fire that's coming is the fire of purity and the fire of cleansing. And God wants to burn up those root systems, those seeds that have been planted into our life to release us into His power. Because where there's no purity, there can be no power. It's going to be a fight for your life. You're in this for a fight for your life. This is a rugged mountain. I'm not trying to tell you this is going to be easy because some of us have been so trained by our past habits that we can't hardly break them because we have so routinely engaged in them, we can do them without even thinking. It's like driving to work. You really don't even look at the streets. You just end up there. But the Holy Ghost is powerful enough to change directions in our life. But you've got to want it. You've got to hunger. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want to hunger for God. Lord, I'm hungry. Lord, I'm thirsty. More than I've ever been before. I don't know if I've shared it here, but I think I shared it in Beachwood last week, that I'm tired of looking at worship videos with a bunch of young kids on it. I mean, you look at Hillsong and all they are is 18 to 25 year old radicals jumping around in jeans and t-shirts. I'm thinking like, where are all the gray hairs? So I'm going to put a video together with just old people on it. And we're all going to be like rocking out for Jesus. But think about it with me. Where is the past generation? Why don't we fill coliseums? Why don't we stand around the front and be radical for Jesus? What's happened to our fire? This is the day of power. God said, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. It's just not the youth that are going to get it. It's just not the young adults that are going to get it. Everybody in this room is going to get it. Everybody in this room qualifies for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm just not satisfied. It's not satisfied with the way it's been. I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry for His righteousness. Jesus climbed the mountain and His disciples climbed with Him. You're a true disciple of God. You've got no choice. It's either you climb or go back home. That's the way it is, man. There's no other alternative. I'm not going to be these preachers that tell you that you can just, you know, live any way you want and still go to heaven. I'm going to tell you the truth. As far as I'm concerned, I read the Bible. Maybe I'm ignorant. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. But it says, unless you die to self. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am wrong. I don't understand it. But that just seems to be the way it is. And so if you're going to, if Jesus climbed the mountain and his disciples went with him, then what are we sitting halfway up for? Why are we allowing him to climb and him to go forward and to him to rule and reign and us sit back and not have the same power in our own life? Prayer around here on Sunday morning ought to be absolutely electric. Not 10 or 15, 20 people. Saturday morning ought to be packed out prayer seeking the face of God. You say, well, I got things to do. You have nothing to do when it comes to the kingdom of God. You say, well, I'm busy. You're not busy. You see what I'm saying? We have to reprioritize our life. We need to think, wait a second. No, this is the kingdom of God. There are people that are waiting out there that are being served injustice. There are people out there today that are in bondage, that are going to hell. There are people out there today that don't have a job in this city. And we hold the key to turning this city around, not the mayor. God bless our new mayor, whoever he is. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's not his job. It's the church's job in the city to turn it around. It's not the new school superintendent to turn the school system around. It's our job. We're in the city. God put us here for a purpose, and that is that we would be a light set upon a hill that everybody would see. Come on, amen? Don't get nervous. Don't get mad. Smile back at me. I'm almost done. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to defeat the forces of mediocrity in the church. I believe it is. I'm tired of mediocre preacher meetings. Mediocre luncheons. I'm tired of that. Where we pray when we open and we pray when we close. What's that all about? Tired about mediocre worship. I'm tired of just mediocre church attendance. I want to see a people that are so hungry for God, they'll stand out and camp in a tent to make sure they have a front row seat. I mean, what's so good about Best Buy when you've got the best God that there ever is? What's so good about that? I probably should stop because I'm going to get myself in trouble. The time is coming when Christianity will no longer be mistaken for religion. I want to say that one last time. The time is coming when Christianity will no longer be mistaken for another religion. It will be a movement of God. It will be a people so fired up with God, so coming from a divine encounter with him that they still glow. Their faces need to be veiled because of the glory of God that is upon them. And I know even me saying that, some of you sit there and go, oh yeah, well that's cute. I'm going to tell you something, it's real. It is God's plan for this last day, but only for those that hunger and thirst for his righteousness. This morning you may be here today and not right with God. You may not know that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. My goodness, man, what are you waiting on? Woman, what are you waiting on? Why would you go to hell when you could go to heaven? Unless you believe some other stupid preacher who says there is no hell, that everybody's safe. What is that stuff? Jesus said, in the last days at the close of my coming, there will be many false prophets. There will be many false Christs. Don't follow those that are out there that are doing whatever they want to do. I mean, look at the book, man. Let the book be your example. Don't let the TBN station be your example. Come on, they may be able to put on a nice TV program, but they're not living right. Don't look at that. Look at the book. What does the book say? So how did we forget the book? Look at somebody and say, how did we forget this book? Let's go back to the book. Come on, somebody say it. Back to the book. Back to basics. Amen. So if you need to be saved this morning, give your life to Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask that question. Are you born again? I mean, are you really born again? Or are you just playing church? Are you just churchized? You have a Christianity, you have a churchianity, you have just a semblance of knowledge. You know, the devils believe and they tremble. I know you say you believe in God, but are you in covenant with him? Are you ready to go to heaven? Heaven is real, man. You haven't read John Bevere's book on rescue? You need to read that. That was our book of the month last month. You need to read that book. You say, what do I need to read that for? It may save your life. I know it's a novel, but it's reality. A reality of what people do today. We've been sold a bunch of lies. We've been told that we can live any way we want to live and still, because God loves us so much and his grace will bring us in. No, come on. God says justice. you're here today and you're not born again, I want to count to three and I want to pray for you. I want to lift your hand. I want you to lift your hand and say, I want that prayer, preacher. I'm ready to go for God. I'm ready to go all the way. When I say three, I want you to acknowledge your need. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, just lift your hand up. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you over there. Amen. You can put them down. One other time. One, two, three. If that's you, lift your hand. If you didn't already do it now. This is your opportunity. Over there, thank you. One last time. Come on, this is your last call because I've got to go. I've got to drive an hour and preach this again. Are you ready? One, two, three. Raise your hand if you didn't do it. God bless you. It's about time. Been waiting on you. What are you doing? Shake yourself. Altar ministers, come on up here to the front quickly. Congregation, we're going to stand in a minute. And when we stand, I want every person that raised your hand to walk out boldly from where you're standing and say, you know what? I'm walking away from my old life and I'm coming to God 100% and I'm going to live for Him the rest of my life. Are you ready? Come on, congregation. Stand up and bless those who raise their hand and encourage them this morning as Minister Troy comes. Praise God. Come on, you raise your hand. Come on. Come on. Come on. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Come on. You raise your hand, come on. Praise God. And we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. Come on, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, look at two or three people around you and say, if you raise your hand, I'll go with you. What are you waiting on? Come on, let's go. Come on, ask them.
Amen. As these are praying, I'd like to share something with you. The other day, a while back, I was driving with my son. He's a new driver. He's 16 years old. And we came to an intersection. And he became indecisive. The light, you know, turned. It was green. It was a stale green light. And as he pulled up, he didn't know what to do, whether to drive through or to stop. And so he became indecisive, and the next thing I know, he slammed on the brakes, and there we were, halfway. We were caught in the middle of this intersection. And there we were caught in the middle of the intersection, and these cars were staring at us on both sides of us. And I looked over and I said, never do that. Never be indecisive. You either stop or you go. You never just slam on the brakes in the middle. Because at that, when we were right there, we were vulnerable. We were in a dangerous place because traffic was coming and it was about to hit us. You never want to be in that place. You never want to be halfway. You don't, because you'll die. You'll die in Haran. We can't die in Haran, church. Church, we can't. We can't. We've stopped in Haran. We can't stop here. You know the place on the top of Mount Carmel? You know what it's called? Where Elijah defeated the 450 prophets of Baal? It's called the place of burning. It's called a place of burning. And I believe that God called Elijah to burn in that place. Right on top of the mountain. So that way, everyone in the area, it was the highest, it was the pinnacle place. It was the summit. I believe he called Elijah to start that fire there so everyone could see it. And that's where he's calling us, church. Not halfway up the mountain, not in Haran, to the top, a place of burning, so others can see it. This morning, I want you to close your eyes and ask yourself a question. I just want you to search your heart this morning, just between you and the Lord right there. Say, God, am I following you to the top, or have I stopped halfway? Have I stopped halfway? Have I somehow, some way ended up in Haran when you've called me to a land of promise, a land of power and fulfillment? Have I somehow stopped? What caused me to stop? God, if I'm not with you, Jesus, if I'm not grabbing your coattails as you're walking into the land of promise, reveal it to me now. Convict my heart right now, dear Jesus, that I might turn and follow you with my whole heart to that place of burning, to that place of perpetual fire that comes from your altar. God, burn, burn inside of me. I give you praise, Jesus. Thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If that's you this morning, you say, I need to recommit my life to Christ this morning. I need to reaffirm my covenant with Christ. I need him to know that I'm not a Judas and I am a John. That I once was called in Haran, but no longer. I'm coming out of Haran and I'm coming into the land of promise, to the land of Canaan this morning. If that's you, why don't you come to the altar this morning? After we pray a prayer, why don't you just feel released to come to the altar this morning and say, I don't want to live in Haran anymore. Jesus, I pray right now we would be a church that would follow you to the promised land, that we would be a church that walks in dominion and power. We would walk in impartation. Search our hearts now, God. Give you praise in Jesus' name. If that's you, church, if you need to make that step this morning, we want you to feel free to come to the altar this morning. Make sure you do that before you leave this morning. Here's another thing we need to do. On either end of us, onto the right or to the left of this altar, there's a sign. Over there is one that says the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And over here is the one that says the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is very important, church. Before you leave, if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're missing the empowerment of life. Acts 1:8 says you receive power, power for living. We need that. Your children need that. Our schools need that. Our young adults need that. We need to be empowered for life. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, our altar ministers over there, and they want to lay hands on you until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And over here is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What you need, we all need to walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The other day, God gave me a dream about some person I knew in my past. I said, God, what are you doing? What are you doing, Lord? He said, when you get up tomorrow, I want you to MySpace this person and let them know that I'm trying to talk to them through dreams. I said, okay, God, I'll do that. I got up the next morning. I was busy. You know, I get in the office and I did that. I'm sharing this with you to let you know that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are real. I said, okay, God, I'll do that. So I got in the office and right away I did it. She MySpaced me back. It wasn't a second later. She said, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? Are you sending this to everyone? I said, no, I'm very serious. I don't do this unless I feel it's the Lord telling me to do it. Her response, I won't share it with you. She was shocked by it. The witness of God, she was shocked by it because God had already been dealing with her in it. You see, God was dealing with her in her dreams. But God said, Troy, you tell her and I'll confirm it. So you go tell her and I've already doing it, but I need you to confirm it. You see, that's a word of knowledge that came to her. And it was a powerful witness. It shook her inside. And she said, oh, God is real. And God truly is trying to reach me. And conviction there fell. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit, church. If you're not sure what they are, you don't know about them, you want to know more about them, I want you to come over here this morning. Because that's when powerful witness comes. And you can look and you can walk. The other day we were in Wendy's and there was a few of us young adults, and I said, look, I want you to search the room right now. And in 2 minutes, I want you to find somebody. In 2 minutes, I want you to go to someone and give them either a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a prophetic word from the Lord. Pray right now. And all of them look back at me like, what do you mean? The Bible says we can do it. So I want you to search your hearts and do it now. Because that's a powerful witness when you can walk up to a sinner and say, I know what happened last night. This is what God says about your life. That power is available to us. If you need that this morning, and you do need that, if you don't walk in that level of impartation, I want you to come over here to this couch this morning. Amen, church. As we close, I just sense that is drawing. God is drawing us. God is drawing us this morning, church. He's drawing us. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and close in prayer. Come on.
Jesus Christ.
Worship you, Jesus.
Your name is glorious.
Draw your church, Jesus. Turn it up. Draw your church, Jesus. Draw us this morning. Move in this place this morning, God. Erase past. Erase condemnation from our past this morning, God. Bring us to a new place in you. Bring us to a brand new place where it's fresh and your grace runs down. Draw us, Lord. Draw us, Lord. We've got nothing to do but be with you. We're lying to ourselves. We're lying to ourselves when we say we've got other things to do that are outside of your kingdom, Lord. We're lying to ourselves. Send conviction upon our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for conviction this morning. Draw us to a higher place in you, God. Bring us higher, God. Take us from where we were, Lord, into your place, into your courts, Lord. You've never called us to live a life with you in the foyer. You've never called us to live a life with you in the foyer. God, you've called us to be with you in your courts, Lord, in your chambers, God, where you dwell and reside, God. Call your church there this morning. Oh, Holy Spirit, now. Holy Spirit, go now and wake them up. Wake them up till they come to that place with you, God. Wake them this morning and shake us, God. We give you praise, God. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for the new covenant in Christ Jesus, that our past has been wiped away, that all things have become new. Oh, that's for somebody this morning. You're living in yesterday, and God's calling you to live in today. He said, forget about yesterday. Forget about what you used to be. I've called you by a new name. You need to realize I've called you something else. They're calling you the same thing, but I'm not calling you that anymore. I'm calling you by a new name this morning. Your name is no longer Carl, but I'm calling you by a new name this morning. My spirit is touching you this morning, and I'm drawing you with fire this morning to a new place. I've drawn you, I've plucked you out, and I've brought you to this place for right now, for such a time as this. Come to the Lord this morning. We give you praise this morning. The altars are open, church. We need to flood the altars this morning. We need to come to the Lord with hearts of humility and ask Him, God, purge away the dross, purge away the dross. Sometimes silence works better, so we'll just sit here and listen for God. This place, may we be changed, God. May we be changed again, God. Change us, Lord. May the things of this world sicken us. I know that word's not for everyone. Lord, may the things of this world sicken us until we become genuine with our faith. If you need to go, you're released. But for those who choose to stay, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom, His righteousness. You see, church, we need to come to a place where our lives, are broken before the Lord. Set him up a microphone. This morning, some are leaving, but others are staying. If you feel the Lord drawing you to the altar, please come.